2001 was a record-breaking year at the box office. Moviegoers bought more than $8.3 billion worth of tickets. And what that means in terms of quality is subject to debate. Los Angeles Times film critic Kenneth Turan joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
I know movies are expensive, but $8.3 billion worth of tickets? That's staggering.
It seems like a lot of tickets, but you know, the reality is that it's just up a little bit from last year. Movie admissions, which is the key, have really remained kind of steady over the years. And they're actually, if you go back to the pre-television years, they're way down. So it's just, it's hikes in ticket prices that have made this figure go up and up and up.
Yeah, $8 and more in many cases.
Absolutely.
I go at the discount times.
You're a wise man, Bob.
On the weekends, in the afternoons. Was there a particularly new trend in movie making last year?
Well, there was one trend that was not a good trend. I call it kind of the one-week wonder. You remember those tomatoes that used to be genetically engineered that they would be crash-resistant, but they didn't taste very good? Well, Hollywood has kind of come up with a way to genetically engineer movies so that they make almost all their money in the first week. And so even when people tell their friends it's no good, it doesn't matter. I mean, there are films like Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, Planet of the Apes, Jurassic Park 3.
It's okay, it's dead. Nobody move a muscle.
They were all front-loaded. They all made a ton of money in the first week and then dropped off very badly.
And 2 weeks later, they're in blockbuster.
Exactly.
What else comes to mind when you look back at the past year?
Well, I think it's interesting to contrast the Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. A lot of people, executives in Hollywood who have an interest in doing something creative, they're very angry at Harry Potter's success because it was the safest movie imaginable. Hollywood is very risk-averse in any case, but here with Harry Potter, they didn't take the tiniest risk. On the other hand, Lord of the Rings, also a fantasy epic, also beloved by many readers, they took a lot of risks in making this film. They made three films at once, to be played out over 3 years. And if the first film had been a turkey, they would be stuck with these two very expensive films in future years. And that's a great big risk, and people are happy that that risk seems to have worked out.
Well, the first one was the world's longest movie anyway.
And there are two more coming, Bob.
Not for me. Now, what risks should Harry Potter have taken? Should they have made three or four of those at one time?
No, I mean, it's not very exciting filmmaking. You can just feel that everything they did was with an eye towards protecting the franchise, not to upset anybody, not to possibly distract potential viewers. And you can understand why they did it, because there's a lot of money at stake, but it makes the film kind of boring. I mean, most people don't want a film that's ideal for 12-year-olds.
How did the terrorist attacks affect the movies?
Well, it was interesting. The immediate reaction was to take out of released, in other words, pull from the schedule films that people feared would be upsetting because they were too violent or they were war-oriented. A film like Wind Talkers about the Navajo code breakers during World War II. Films like Big Trouble and Collateral Damage with dealt with terrorism. But on the other hand, after a month or so, people started to see that with the bombing in Afghanistan and the war effort, there might be an interest in the public in action in war films. And two films had their schedules moved up. They came out at the end of this year, even though they were scheduled for next year, Behind Enemy Lines and Black Hawk Down, decided that, in fact, rather than being a bad time for war movies, this was a good time for war movies. So Hollywood, you know, did this kind of usual flip-flop.
Weren't some re-edited? Some had scenes of the World Trade Center and that sort of thing?
Yes, that, again, was an initial reaction. I mean, Hollywood, again, is nothing if not timid, and they're terrified, my God, someone might be upset that there's a shot of the World Trade Center. They might tell their friend might not go. We have to take these out.
After September 11th, there were Hollywood types meeting with members of Congress.
There were all meetings with Karl Rove, and people, you know, they came out here, they went to Washington. It was like a media event, but I think it was really kind of meaningless. It was window dressing. I mean, basically what came out of it is some public service announcements, which probably would have come out of it anyway. I mean, no one asked Hollywood to make different kinds of pictures, and Hollywood would have refused had they been asked, I think.
But Hollywood's off the hook now.
They are definitely off the hook, and they like being off the hook. They want to just make money. They don't want people looking into how violent the films are or looking into the effects it has on their films have on children. So they're delighted to have Congress occupied with other things.
So how would you describe the year in movies overall?
Well, it was an interesting year. I mean, part of it was very forgettable. It was more of the same. It was Rush Hour 2. It was Dr. Dolittle 2. It was films that you not only felt you saw, you actually had seen before you saw them. It was very grim getting through those films. But on the other hand, there were positive things. There was a film like Shrek, which was an animated film, which may be the only film out of the studio system that actually surprised people, that was funnier and sharper and more fun than people anticipated. So that was a good sign.
Oh, you must know how it goes. A princess locked in a tower and beset by a dragon is rescued by a brave knight. And then they share true love's first kiss.
Hmm? With Shrek? You think... Wait. You think that Shrek is your true love?
Well, yes.
You think Shrek is your true love?
And also, there are some good independent films, films that people are talking about now as the Oscar season is rolling around. In the Bedroom, a drama with Sissy Spacek and Tom Wilkinson. Memento, a kind of unusual thriller. These were different kinds of films a little bit, and it's just how, even though there are few of them, you know, you have to take it as a good sign or else, you know, you get suicidal.
Amelie.
Amelie was a film that was a huge hit in France, and it's doing well here. It's not clear exactly how well it's going to do. It's a very French sensibility. I'm probably betraying my own lack of enthusiasm for it, but it has a lot of partisans.
Best I saw in years.
Is that right?
Various members of my family take turns seeing it again.
Well, you know, this is a business, a movie business. It just takes all kinds, Bob.
It was different, refreshing, warm but not treacly.
You sound like me.
We should change jobs for a week.
We should switch for a week like the Prince and the Pauper.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
Kenneth Turan is a film critic with the Los Angeles Times.